The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and we are closing out one of our series for Survivor 50. Everything you need to know about is coming to an end today, and we figured we'd do this one live, mainly because we didn't pre-record it, but then also because, like, it's the last one. It's Coach Wade. We're talking about Will's winner pick for Survivor 50, one of the biggest personalities to ever play the game. Let's do it live. Why not? Last episode. Still going to be, like, the same format, 30 minutes, whatever, but here we are. What's up?
Do it live. That's right. Are you sure this is the last one? I feel like we have got a couple more, maybe.
Well, we're going to have two more in late December, early January. That's for sure.
I guess, how does that even, we just like recap what they did on 49 after just recapping what they did on 49.
I hope you've been stalking Rizzo's social media as much as I have, because the man has been at like every sporting event in like the last month and a half. So, you know.
Huh, like just baseball? Because that's all that. Baseball, UFC, maybe?
Yeah, he likes baseball a lot. I feel like there was something else in there. All I know is he's been to a bunch of different baseball stadiums, and I'm not buying that that he didn't win that, you know, that $1 million. Otherwise, man, he must have been loaded to be able to be like, hey, I finished ninth and got like $15,000. I'm going to go do all these baseball.
Maybe he didn't win 49 and he wins 50.
That's what it was.
So he got back from 50. He's like, all right, now I'm going to finally tour every baseball stadium of America.
There you go. But yeah, so what are we talking about, Rizzo?
Have you been to a lot of stadiums?
Yeah, I have. I've been to a good amount. That has nothing to do with Coach.
We got
to
talk. I know. I was just wondering.
I've been to a lot of stadiums. I have. All right. That's the benefit of growing up in the tri-state area, is you get to go to a lot of stadiums. But we're talking Coach, right? Come on, that's Will. Right. Don't try to distract from the topic at hand.
Coach, I mean, what do you need to know? I think you need to know that every time Coach has played, I think he's gone in with kind of like a misconception about how he needs to play or what he needs to do to win. I think the first time he's playing, he's chosen to be there because he's just such a kooky gentleman. He's just a oddball of a guy. But he actually like has some strategic chops and token chains, but really what the show is doing, it's making fun of him. It's laughing at him. He's delusional. He does make some good relationships, even if the people are like, yeah, Coach is a nut, I'll keep him around. Like, he and Tyson do have a real bond. Like, he does really bond with JT, Taj, and Steven. And, like, he does last a long time in the game. And then when he's brought back in Heroes vs. Villains, there were a few people, especially when the tribes were introduced. I don't know if you remember this, Phil. I mean, I'm sure you do. You've seen that season a bunch. I think you have it as the number one season or one of the top.
It is two, but yeah, it's right there.
What's number one? Is China still number one?
I still have China number one, but we're going through for every season matters. We're going through the seasons one by one and ranking as we go.
Right.
So I do have it as one through the first 22 seasons, although South Pacific, you never know. That's next.
Could sneak up there into the top three. Lots of coaching that season.
Lots.
Well, on Heroes vs. Villains, they introduced the villains tribe. And, you know, some of the people are like, well, what did we do? Why are we here? What makes us a villain? And then others are like, oh, no, I get it. Like, I am a total villain. I understand why. Like, Russell knows why he's there. Rob knows why he's there. I'm pretty sure Sandra knows why he's there or she's there. Jerry, I think, maybe understands. I kind of forget. But some of them are like, what did we do? And I think Coach is one of those people who's like, why am I a villain? Why am I here? Like, wasn't I a heroic player? I was trying to play with honor and integrity. And he didn't fully grasp that, like, you kept saying honor and integrity, and then you just literally weren't. Like, they would, that's all they did in Token Cheese, was just cut away. Like, hey, we shouldn't really go talking about people. The last thing we want to do is be throwing people under the bus. And then they cut away to a scene with him, like, at a river, being like, that person sucks.
Aaron sucks.
We gotta get her out of here. So, like, he didn't even realize he's a villain. And so I think this, like, that's why I'm so excited to see Coach, because I think there's been this evolution each time. And then in South Pacific, he comes in and says, I'm here to win this time. I'm going to win with honor and integrity and loyalty. He's doing the same thing, but he's going to do it in a winning way this time. And actually comes somewhat close. I mean, gets the final tribal council. Here, I do feel like, and I could be wrong, Phil, but, like, this is really what I believe, is that Coach is coming out here for his fourth time in season 50, and he's like, honor, integrity, loyalty out the damn window. I'm here to play hard. I am watching New Era Survivor. I'm watching Modern Survivor. People don't give a damn about loyalty or integrity. They care about the blind sides. They care about the strategy. They care about the moves. They care about the resume. Like, let me play that game. And we have not seen that from Coach yet. And that's why I'm so excited for this version of Coach.
I think what's also fascinating, you mentioned earlier in that dialogue there of Coach is, he's kind of portrayed as a character, but at the same time, it's kind of like a misconception a little bit. Cochran has a great confessional in South Pacific when he first meets Coach, where he says, Coach is a lot smarter than people give him credit for. And it's right after, it's at the merge when Coach calls out the exact plan that the Savai'i tribe had, down to the fact that Cochran's supposed to be double agent and everything. And Cochran says he's got it together. Like, he's not this delusional guy that it seemed like. And I do think that was a learning curve for Coach from Heroes versus Villains, because obviously he has the iconic moment where he's talking to Tyson. He says, am I really that bad of a guy? Like, I don't know what to do. And Tyson, stop wearing the feathers in your hair. Stop doing this. And Coach came out the next time. And look, I think that he definitely exploited some weakness in South Pacific, which, you know, Brandon comes to mind big time, because Brandon is just like so all over the place mentally. Honestly, I think he was just exploited by being put on TV in the first place. But like, when you look at how Brandon plays that game, you look at what Coach does. Coach is always in control from day one. Christine says they're temporary players, and then Coach loses that immunity challenge that or the reward challenge to start the game, and his tribe doesn't care about him at all. Meanwhile, Ozzy's sitting right in the middle of everybody, and then Coach forms one of the strongest alliances in the history of the show.
Well, Coach has got game.
He does. And honestly, if Coach had not been caught in no man's land because of the Boston Rob scenario at Final 13, Jerry really did end Coach's game on that season. I think Coach could have went very far, because JT was ready to play with Coach as soon as he hit the merge. And so there was a lot of opportunity there, but Boston Rob going and Coach kind of being lumped in on the blame, even though there was nothing he could do about it, that really made him, that solidified him as character Coach who's not good at Survivor. And South Pacific, I'm not going to say, some people are like, he played the greatest runner-up game of all time. He had already played twice. He'd already played a lot of days of Survivor. He played with some of the best of all time. I can't sit here and say it's the second best game ever, because he's playing against a bunch of people who've never played before. But he dominates that game. Sophie just pulls the wool over his eyes at Final Tribal Council, and he forgets that he's supposed to actually like convince them to vote for him, which goes back to your point. I agree with. He will, I think, come out a little bit more cutthroat this season, because he sat there and lost before. Why are you doing that again? No way.
Yeah, and I just think it's like the direction of where the show is going too, where like the show hadn't fully gone. I mean, I remember when Jeff was doing press for Game Changers, he kept using this phrase, human poker, and like just fully leaning into like the board game of it. Like, oh, like the werewolf mafia resistance type of like, I'm lying to you, but am I bluffing? Do you know if I have this idol or have this trinket? And like fully going that direction. Coach hasn't played since, like, we have to remember Coach played three times in a very short period.
37, we're talking, 38, 39. Now he's 53.
Oh, you're talking about his age. I was like, yeah. He didn't play in 37, 38, 39. Yeah. Bill, that's not what happened.
He played every, but he played in season, 38, 39. And
he played 18, 20, 23. Yeah. So like three times in six seasons. That's, you know, we were talking about Aubrey in a similar way, where it's like she played three times over like seven seasons, I think.
Yeah.
And like now Coach is different, I think. The show is different. And so this version, to me, that's why I'm so excited to see him. That's why I actually think he can win, because people don't take Coach seriously. And when I do make Coach my winner pick, and I've made it since the start, it's not like if I had to go place a bet in Vegas and say, like, who's the most likely person on this cast to win? That's not what I'm doing. I'm saying, who would I be most satisfied with winning, and who I think surprisingly actually does have a shot to win this season. And that's me with Coach, because he's not going to play the same way. People aren't going to take him seriously. You look across, again, I feel like I'm a broken record sometimes in this Everything You Know Need to Know series, but you're either one of these people on the mat. When you step out there day one, you're looking at your own mat, and then the two other tribes, you've got 23 other people Who are you looking at and being like, I am scared of this person being on a season with me. I'm afraid this person is going to outwit me, outlast me, and eliminate me. I need to be careful. Who are those people? Coach is not one of those people. And that bodes so well. Because I think the cast honestly breaks into about half and half about who you're afraid of. And I think part of the reason why I wasn't super high on this cast and that the community wasn't super high on this cast, at least when it first came out, is like, we have a lot of people that you really wouldn't be afraid of when first looking at them. But man, Coach is someone who gets the game. And if he plays differently, and I think he will, I don't think he's, if he comes out and totes the integrity, honor, BS again, I would be very surprised. Where are you on that, Phil? Like, do you think he's going to lose that?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like Coach is such a showman at this point that he could very easily come out and be like, I'm back again to prove that you can win with honor and integrity and blah, blah, blah. But then I could also see Coach just, you know, after the first day, or he could say all that and then say, but not this time. And then who knows what Coach is going to do. I mean, what's actually very funny is in South Pacific, he does play quite an honorable game. The problem is, eventually people have to go from that alliance and they all blame Coach for it, right?
Well,
and that's where he gets screwed. He gets everybody as far as he says he'll get them. He tells Edna she's sixth, but she's in the sixth. He tells Rick, like, he never makes a final three promise with Rick, at least from what I remember. And then Brandon, obviously, like, with the whole necklace giving up, like, that's not Coach's problem. And so, like, Coach does exactly what he says he's going to do. He just sells it so terribly at the final tribal council that there's nothing that can be done. And I think that's where maybe the killer instinct from Coach will be a little bit different this time. Is I think he came out the second time playing a character. I think he came out the third time playing a play, like playing the game. And I think he's coming out this time to win. Like, I think that second, that third time he played to play, but didn't realize what it actually took to win. Now he does.
Yeah. And he says he's playing to win on that third time. But I think he's just going to play that. And I think if he somehow, which I don't expect him to, but if he says to, if he does mention the honesty, integrity, loyalty as like his way of playing or his MO to other players on the cast of season 50, I think we're getting a confessional right after of him talking to the audience saying, yeah, that's a load of crap. Like, I'm not actually doing that this time. Like, I really, because that's the thing. And you are right. Like, he did play a loyal game in South Pacific because Coach has always believed in his own, for lack of a better word, bullshit. Like, he's kind of sniffed his own farts. He's kind of drinking his own Kool-Aid. Like, whatever these phrases are, like, whatever he's putting out, he's picking up, like, he is all about his mantras, and he actually believes what he's saying, even when the show shows us that it's completely not true. And I think this is our first time where we can see him like be like, all right, yeah, I've kind of been full of shit. Like, the gloves are off now. This is the last time we're seeing Coach. This is Coach Volume 4, Survivor 50. Like, he's probably not coming back. He knows he's not coming back. Like, let's see him try to play. Let's see what like a cutthroat version of Coach actually looks like. And that's what I'm very excited for.
Yeah, and I've kind of talked about this with like Colby when we did that one all the way back. But like, Coach has a fifth place finish, a 12th place finish, and a second place finish. So he's finished all over the map too. So he's got a lot to pull from of like what to learn and what to throw out and what to try to take and grow off of and everything. He doesn't get a vote against him the entirety of South Pacific, which is pretty impressive considering he is Coach coming into that game. And you think about it, like Boston Rob got plenty of votes in Redemption Island. It's not that, Coach isn't necessarily a threat, but nobody was like targeting Coach as the person to vote out, even at the beginning of the game when Christine says, let's vote Coach out.
Yeah, well, and it was, you know, it was Coach and Ozzy were presented as the two returning players, and you hear a confessional from pretty much all the newbies in that cast. Well, maybe not all of them, because half of them are nobodies. But they say, I want Ozzy. Like, I want Ozzy on my tribe, or I'm so stoked we got Ozzy. I really didn't want Coach. And then everyone on the Apollo tribe is like, oh man, we got stuck with Coach. I would have rather had Ozzy. And he loses the first challenge. Like, he was in such a bad spot to start South Pacific and to put together an alliance that does just buzzsaw through the game and he gets to final tribal council. Like, we can't take that away from Coach as a player.
So let's talk about adaptability here. Coach in Colby and Russell Hance are the only three people to never experience a tribe swap. One of the things we could vote on, and we did this podcast for, you know, where did the fans' hands land? God, that's weird to say. We did that. One of the things we could vote on was a tribe swap, and we're assuming a tribe swap is going to happen. How do you think Coach will react to a tribe swap, being that so much of what his game has been is building an alliance and playing with that alliance?
It's a good question. I do think it's a little bit different here because I'm sure Coach knows so many people on this cast already. Like, if it were an all newbie season, or like he'd be a captain, I think then it's like, all right, Coach might feel a little bit out of his element. He likes putting numbers together and he likes sticking with them. Like, now that they've broken up, how is he going to react? But he's been such a legend in the community for so long. I don't think that will be that tough of a hurdle for him because he can, like, I don't know, he's going to have connections all over this cast. Also, to my point too, like, I don't think he wants to play the same way as he's played before. So maybe a tribe swap gives him an opportunity to be like, all right, let's mix things up. Let's have a new alliance. Or, hey, I have three people from my original tribe, but we have two people from this tribe, two people from that tribe. What if I flip on him? Like, what if I'm the guy who lies? What if I'm the Cochran? You know, like, what if I'm the one who pulls the trigger and doesn't just sit in the majority? Like, I think that's the mentality that Coach is coming into season 50 with, or at least I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I everything you're saying is what I hope happens as well. I mean, he's going to give great sound bites. The confessionals are going to be awesome. We're going to get him doing Coachy in the water, and the sun is going to be setting. That first eagle screech is going to hit so hard. Oh my God, it's going to be epic. But I do hope that, like, what worries me is Coach is coming in as a 53-year-old now, right? So he's married, he's got a couple kids. He is a little bit different of a guy. I know he's not coaching soccer anymore, even though he still goes by Coach. Like, his life is in such a different place. And like, the difference between 39 and 53, like, I thought Coach, when I'm watching South Pacific, I was like, Coach is an old man. And now I'm only 6 years younger than Coach was on 39, which just blows my mind. But like, when I look at all of that, I get worried that maybe Coach gets a little stuck in his own head. And like, being the older guy who knows that it's probably his last time, he kind of does the Coach thing of, I'm on the Coach journey and everybody else can take a seat. And some people are just like, dude, we're just going to keep Coach around because we don't even know what the hell he's doing. Like, sure, he's over there in the corner doing whatever. And they don't, it doesn't bother them. So I do worry that maybe strategy takes a back seat for Coach, but I still ultimately don't think it hurts his placement. Like, Coach, I think, very, very high floor on this season. Like, very high floor. I'd be shocked if he's one of the, in our Sprant Steel, he was the first boot. I'd be shocked if he's one of the first four or five boots, unless he gets on a disaster tribe, because he's pretty good at challenges. He's annoying, but he's not that annoying because he's not that much of a threat.
Yeah, I agree. There is still, yeah, you're right too, in that there is like this version where, you know, Coach version 3 in South Pacific comes out, I'm going to do my damnedest to win this game, and I'm going to do it with honor, integrity, and let's see how it goes. And he dominates, he gets the final tribal council and loses, and that's devastating. He's out of the survivor world for however many years that is. Now he's back and he's like, you know what? Screw winning. I just want to celebrate 50 seasons of Survivor. I want to be kooky Coach. I want to go crazy. And in this age of like social media and TikToks and influencers, which like really wasn't happening back when he was like a face of this franchise, he might say, I just want to be a star. Like, I want the screen time, like, strategy be damned, placement be damned, winning $1 million and the title of Soul Survivor be damned. I'm out here to have a good time. And I'm gonna play hard, but I'm not gonna worry too much about like my winning chances. And I just want to be a fun character.
Yeah.
There is a world where that happens too. That's not the world that I want to see. I'd rather see Coach actually play a cutthroat game and try to win. To me, that's far more interesting. But if we get the kooky, I'm just here to get screen time and be entertaining. Is that the worst thing for season 50? No, it's absolutely not. I would still find it entertaining.
Coach also, the another thing that's very important here, Will, especially since we're thinking it's probably going to be two tribes going to tribal council each week, Coach will not be going to the first tribal because his tribe has won the first challenge all three times that he has played Survivor. So he's got to go 4-4. It's a pretty fun random fact there of like, why is Coach's tribe constantly winning the immunity, the first immunity challenge of every season? I love that.
Yeah, but that's not that crazy, right? Because he hasn't played on a season with three tribes at the start. He's only played on two tribe seasons. He's only played three times.
Like, I actually think it's crazier because he hasn't played on a three tribe start, because on the three tribe start, you have a 2/3 chance of winning. I think he's the only player who's won all three.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. I mean, haven't we seen though where two tribes go if they lose?
Only in season 41. That was the only time in the first episode we had two people go out.
Okay.
Abraham.
Okay. But yeah, you're still doing 1 and 2. It's a 1 in 8 shot. So it's not like the craziest thing.
I'm just saying. I think he's the only one.
Should we talk about his tribe?
Yeah, let's look at it.
He's on the teal. I feel like I got so many of the teal tribe people because I had Charlie, I had Mike White, and I had D, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, and now you have Coach.
So I had half of this tribe.
Yeah.
So, yes, we have Charlie, Coach, Jonathan, Mike White, Chrissy, D, Camilla, and Tiffany. How does Coach fit in here?
I think he's great. I think he's so set.
I think he's pretty good, too.
I've talked about it a lot, the Ben Katzman Alliance, like just knowing Ben, that's going to help Coach a lot. Like, I mean, Coach was teaching Ben how to drive his car. And so it's like, Coach has Charlie, who obviously Ben and Charlie are still very close in real life. I'm sure Coach has met Charlie. I'm sure Coach has met Tiffany. And I don't know if that means that he's going to be close with Tiffany, but I could see it. I think Jonathan wants to work with him. I think he's the type of person Mike White could play with. I think that D and Camilla would probably try to use him. Chrissy's the one that I could see him butting heads with, but I could also see Chrissy and Mike White and Coach teaming up and saying, we're all over 50. Like we're outnumbered by these young kids. We're on a tribe where four of the people or five of the people on the starting tribe are from the new era. Let's not be the first three people voted out. Like, let's do what we have to do. So I think that Coach is in a good spot. If the new era does team up, he's not the first boot there. And I think that there's enough people who would say, I can deal with Coach because he's going to be a loyal number. And why get rid of a loyal number?
Yeah. And someone who's not threatening. Like, you're not looking at Coach being like, oh, I have to watch out for him. He's going to lie and backstab me. Like, that hasn't been his prerogative in any of his first three seasons. Yeah. I think the Mike White and Coach relationship could be really funny. I almost can, like, see the confessional now where Mike White's like, I'm a Survivor fan. I watch Coach play, and he's this kooky guy, and you think he's crazy. But to be honest, he's just a really good dude. And I just really like hanging out with him. Like, I can just kind of like feel that confessional.
That's a pretty good Mike White. I'm not going to lie.
Was it good?
I thought that was pretty good. I don't ever try to do impersonations because, you know, we always sound different in our heads than we do out loud. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty good.
Yeah, I've been watching David versus Goliath. So I have kind of Mike's voice top of mind.
Hmm. You have Coach's voice top of mind? I hope you've been watching South Pacific.
I think I'm 2 episodes into South Pacific.
Nice. Nice. We're recording for the Patreon pretty soon, guys.
But we're still there's still plenty of the glory that is Redemption Island left for the patrons.
Oh yeah. Don't worry, guys. I think we just started actually Redemption Island's the second episode came out today. Underrated Castaway. Will and I landed on the same person. We didn't even waste our breath saying three names on that podcast. We said
trying
two.
To think who we went with here. I can't even think about it. I don't even remember.
Yeah. Now, here's my question. I'm not going to say it.
You got to be a patron to figure out that hard.
To hear what the big news is. The most
underrated cast member of Redemption Island.
Yeah. But when I look at this, like, there's no way we get the first version of Coach again. I don't see it. And no. I don't think we get the heroes versus villains version of Coach again. I think we get either the South Pacific version or some sort of mesh between South Pacific and heroes villains where it's like half character, half game. But you're saying no, you think it's a totally different version.
No, we're not going to get South Pacific Coach again because South Pacific Coach lost. I think we're getting Cutthroat Coach, like modern Survivor Coach. Like, look at all these advantages. Look at all these journeys, these trinkets, these shots in the dark. Like, look at the hashtag blindsides. Like, look at the resumes. Like, I want to make big moves. I want to play the game hard. I want to win. Like, I think that is option one. And then option two, as I've stated also, it's like, screw winning. I got close. It's so hard to get to the end. There's 24 people here. I'm going to come out and I'm going to be a star. And I'm just going to have fun and I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to cause chaos. Like, I'm going to flip. I don't care if I get jury votes. I don't care if I win. give me the Instagram followers, give me the TikTok followers, give me the brand deals. I'm going on the star. Like, yeah, I want to be on the Traitors next. I want to be on House of Villains. I want to be on Deal or No Deal Island. Like, let me get back into the reality sphere now that this world is blowing up. And now that there's so many opportunities to not only reappear on shows, but to like grow a platform for yourself and like market yourself as a reality TV star, which he really was not able to do in the time that he played. So I think that's on the table as well. But I don't think, and that's why I'm excited for, I don't think we're seeing version 1, 2, or 3 of Coach. Like, I think this will be a new version of Coach, no matter which way it goes on that kind of like spectrum. He's either going to play hard to win or he's not going to care at all, but it won't look like any of his first three appearances.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy because he might be the best character in the history of Survivor, but because he's not considered a gamer and he is so much more of a character, he hasn't been on any of these other shows as it's grown. And like back in 2011, 2012, there was no room for it. And now that it's happening, like, I do think that Coach probably has the most to gain from being on this season because the guy, I mean, you have to remember the guy did a movie. He filmed a movie with Danielle DiLorenzo, like after Heroes versus Villains. Like he just did the trumpet on Ben Katzman's album that he put out. Like Coach takes advantage of the opportunities that come to him. And this could be the biggest one. And this could set him off as like, imagine Coach at the Traitors Roundtable saying, I'm playing with honor. I'm playing with integrity. You're a liar. Like that is glorious to think about. That's glorious.
Coach does feel like a very good pick for the Traitors.
He does.
Like, and if he lasts long enough on Survivor 50, then like that would be on my bingo card.
Imagine Coach as a Traitor on the Traitors saying, I'm playing with honor. I'm playing with it. I don't know if he could do it. That would be amazing. Be amazing.
That'd be good.
Anything else about Coach? I mean, this is the 22nd episode we put out for this Everything You Need to Know About series. So if you haven't checked out all the other episodes, make sure you go back and check them all out. I mean, we get deep into everybody here and we're really like having a good time with it. So it was a very good series. We still have two left.
That's right.
So I don't know. And then what do we have after that? We still have three episodes of the defining episode series left. We have, we have, who is it? It's Rick Devins. It's Christian. And I think Jonathan, because we were sandwiching it. We were going Jenna and then we were going Camilla and then we were doing it that way
to get to the north.
Yeah.
Not a sandwich, like a teeter totter.
Yeah. Kind of like a teeter totter. Just keep going back and forth. And now we're down to those. And then we'll do another one of that. I can't wait to find out what Savannah and Rizzo's, the defining episodes are.
I mean, gotta find out. 49 is just around the corner.
I know we are so close now. I mean, that cast could be getting announced any minute now because the Amazing Race cast already got announced and that airs after, but that also has Big Brother players. So I think they wanted to go that, but I'm hoping maybe we'll get a cast announcement shockingly early this week or next week.
You think in 2 days we're going to get the season 49 cast?
That'd be incredible. My life would,
that would be good for us. Easy.
Yeah.
Because then we're able to get a cast assessment out and before we start traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. We can actually like all do stuff. That'd be awesome. But either way, this doesn't end 50 coverage, but it's close to the end of 50 coverage.
It's kind of like it's an end of an era for 50 coverage.
It is. Yeah, I started doing this on June 6th, I think. Here we are.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to our other 50 podcasts, I highly, like, even if you're like, I'm kind of Survivor 50'd out, like, they're always good conversations. Like the fans' hands lands was actually not just answering where the fans' hands lands, but like, how is Survivor 50 going to handle that as a theme? Like, how are the episodes going to be different? How are they going to address it in the show? What are they going to tell the players? What are they going to tell the audience? Like, I don't know. That was a more fun conversation than I thought. And then we've done so many, like we did our like winner satisfaction. We did winner chances. You've done a bunch of stuff I haven't even been a part of. So yeah, if you want more 50 stuff, it's all over this channel. It's all over the podcast feed.
Yeah. And if you want to do even beyond 50, we have an episode called Beyond Survivor 50.
We're even getting into 51 and 52.
Look, it was the busiest off season ever. And like I said, we still have three episodes left. Two of those will be dropping this week. One will be dropping next week. And then the 50 coverage really is over until 49 ends or until we get some crazy news that we weren't expecting. If like Jeff drops, you know, there is a tribe swap on this season. Maybe we'll start having that conversation about throwing a podcast out.
Where he retires.
God, that can't happen, man. They just changed AU's host. They can't change Jeff, too.
Who'd they change it to?
The Golden God. The guy who won Dondi last season, David.
That's crazy.
It's weird that it's a former player. That's what I'll say.
They are they're laying out a path that American Survivor can either follow or ignore.
Honestly, it gives me more hope that it won't be a player who takes over for Jeff because
Jeff hates copying Australian Survivor.
Yeah. So my hope is that this will actually lead them to getting new blood in there. But either way, thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know how you think Coach is going to do this season. I know there was an AU versus the world question here. Tegwith and McKenna absolutely killed the premiere recap yesterday. Great job. We're just going to be doing one a week, though, from what I understand.
So I got to watch it. I got to hop in and watch it. Maybe we fill. Maybe we do a recap.
I haven't watched yet.
20 minutes.
McKenna and I will be live tomorrow at noon. I know that. So that's the week one recap.
So should I hop in?
If you want. Are you going to be around at 9 a.m. Western time?
Probably.
There we go. That could work then.
Depends on other meetings, but we'll see.
Anyway, yeah, Will was real hot coming in on that, and then he was like, I don't know.
I want to watch it, and I want a podcast, but I miss podcasting about actual episodes of Survivor. We've been talking about this future season nonstop about the same players and the same questions. I'm give me something to recap and react to versus something to just predict. I feel like I'm better at recapping Survivor episodes than I am just talking about this player was good on their first season.
I mean, this was a dead summer too. There was no shows on other than Big Brother, which we don't do. There's not last year, I think we were trying out The Trust and I mean, there was some stuff. There's nothing going on right now.
The Game of Greed.
That's going to be Coach is going to revive The Trust, A Game of Greed. That's what's going to happen.
He'd be perfect. He should host that show.
He should.
He should have been the host.
He should have. All right. That's it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.
See ya.